Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We have Kevin Freeman in the house virtually. He is, of course, our duty expert on matters involving global economic warfare, the subject of two best-selling books on the subject, Secret Weapon and Game Plan. He is also soon to be the star of a new television program, which we have been awaiting with great anticipation. It is entitled Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. He's a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy, I'm proud to say, and a regular feature of this program. Kevin Freeman, thank you so much. Good to have you.
Great to be here, Frank.
So, Kevin, you have been following closely as a chartered financial analyst, among other things, the volatility in the stock market. And you have drawn some conclusions that there may be more to this than just what is being described by CNBC as out-of-control trading. Tell us what your spidey instincts are telling you may be going on here.
Yeah, the market has actually returned to normalcy in terms of volatility, which is a severe change from what we had, which was just a relentless rise from the Trump election on. And so the Occam's razor would tell us that that's normal. Don't look any further. The simplest explanation is the easiest. But we have to always look behind and say what may actually be causing this dramatic sea change to go from every week higher, every month higher, to having the worst volatility and the biggest decline in the past several years happened last week. And when we look behind it, it's clear that there are some very unusual financial instruments, some derivatives based on the issue of volatility. One is VIX and the other is XIV. And these two derivatives are subject themselves to manipulation. And so when we look behind it, it is possible. I'm not saying that it happened, but it's theoretically possible that someone saw President Trump gaining in popularity and saw it tied to the stock market and decided to take action, or maybe it's a weapons test from foreigners. I can tell you this. One thing is clear is that there's glee among leftist corners regarding the fact that the stock market is finally cracked. They were looking for that, and now they're joyful, hopeful that it brings the Trump presidency down a notch or two.
Yeah, and I suspect that's the case in the Kremlin and in Beijing's Politburo as well. Kevin Freeman, at the very least, even if one can't say that this was a weapons test, an economic warfare weapons test, or that certain bad actors, perhaps like George Soros, for example, or the Chinese or Russians were behind this volatility, at the very least, I think it's fair to say, is it not, that there is new evidence of just how vulnerable we are to such sorts of attacks, should they be mounted by foreign powers or domestic enemies?
Well, that's absolutely right. There's no question that our economy is predicated on capital formation and the ability to raise money, borrow money, or to sell equity. We're already seeing interest rates rising, which is a normal thing. The Federal Reserve is beginning to take interest rates back to normal. But if you choked off the ability to raise capital with the stock market crash simultaneously with higher interest rates, you would crater the economy, and the potential there is devastating.
You have written about this quite thoughtfully, as always, Kevin Freeman, at your site and blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com. In fact, you've entitled a series on this subject, Winds of War. You're now on to part two. And there's an interesting discussion there of phase three of what the Chinese particularly might be up to, and I commend that to our audience. I did want to turn to something else, Kevin, that's quite worrying, and that is what seems to be the binge spending that Republicans, who used to decry that sort of thing, are now fully implicated in. As a result of the budget deficit deal that was struck last week, and perhaps as a result of action on the president's new multi-trillion-dollar investment plan. Talk a little bit about that, Kevin, and in particular reports that we're now getting that there may be some blowback in the market, notably a possible downgrade of our debt by Moody's.
Well, all of this goes back to the work that you helped me with the connections to the Pentagon. Back in 2008, 2009, I wrote that the most logical outcome of the financial crisis was that we would add severely to our debt, which we've done. We've gone from a little over $10 trillion to well over $20 trillion in debt, and we're running projected deficits in the $800 billion to $1 trillion range, and we're pretending that there's no end in sight that we can continue to do this. Moody's has picked up on it and said we might have to downgrade American debt. And the Chinese, this is what we called phase three, that that they use our debt as a weapon and an excuse to crater our economy. And interest rates skyrocket, the economy stumbles. So we're going along as if there's no problems. This is reminiscent of where we were in 2006, 2007, before the attack that took place then, coupled with the real estate bubble. We're now seeing a spending bubble, and the Congress seems happy to go along with it.
The attack, of course, that you're referring to was mounted on September 11th, 2008. And your terrific book, Secret Weapon, lays out what we know about that attack, and it's chilling reading, needless to say, especially to the extent that these days we seem to be ignoring the possibility that it could be in our future as well. Kevin Freeman, let me ask you about one other piece of this. The degree to which we are beginning to see capital flight from the United States, and if you would tie that into some of the analysis that you've done over the years about the degree to which our currency is under assault as the global reserve currency of the world.
Well, it's become quite popular to talk about investments outside the United States. That's the most popular thing on Wall Street. If you turn on the financial news, open paper, we've got to move money outside the United States. Part of it is built on denigrating the president of the United States. Part of it is globalist leaders who feel that we're not playing ball in a global fashion. And what it really is led by is the Chinese, coupled with the Russians, have been for several years influencing foreign governments and companies around the world to take an anti-American view. And this One Belt, One Road, the Silk Road, the whole initiative is designed to replace the Western financial system led by the United States with one that's led by China, in particular with Russia's support. And as we're now seeing the fruits of that pay off on their behalf and to our detriment.
Kevin, one other piece of this, speaking of the Chinese, that I know you've been giving some thought to is the Confucius Institutes. Senator Marco Rubio brought this up in the hearings of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the oversight hearings that I think are, as we speak, still underway. But I'd just be interested in your thoughts about the role that they are playing, these instruments of the Chinese government here in the United States.
Well, it's a compromise operation. It goes beyond just the universities, but the university example is the Chinese government says we'd like to establish a Chinese institute. We'll call it a Confucius Institute. It's very prestigious. We'll give you money. It'll accompany this. But with that, you sign away from some of your rights as a university that you can't criticize China. No one associated with you can criticize China. And then it becomes a propaganda mechanism to infiltrate the thought leadership of the United States. And it's not dissimilar to what the Nazis did in the 20s and 30s.
In fact, it's all too familiar, really, when you think about the playbook that totalitarians have often used. Kevin Freeman, we have to leave it at that for the moment. I appreciate, as always, your insights. They are sometimes provocative. They are always thought-provoking. But what they do is, I think, shed light on the sorts of things all of us ought to be thinking about. That's what makes this, of course, a resource for intelligence briefings for the American people about this war for the free world. Keep it up, my friend. I know you will. At globaleconomicwarfare.com, as well as in the work you do for us at the Center for Security Policy. And keep us posted on your coming program, Economic War Room, with Kevin Freeman. Next up, we'll talk with Itamar Marcus from the Palestinian Media Watch about Palestinian incitement, the prospects for peace, indeed the prospects for war with Iran. That and more straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.